Let's open the scriptures. We've got a few scriptures to wade through. Psalm chapter 126. I think the best title for this collection of scriptures is freedom. Psalm 126. But keep in mind this whole freedom thing and how it applies to us as spirit-filled Christians. Psalm 126 in verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then, as our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So great rejoicing psalm there about the freedom. And we read this with spiritual eyes. You know, the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, of course, referring to the Old Testament time of when Israel was taken into captivity. And he reversed that captivity. And it says there that they were like a dream. You know, wow, we're living this dream. We can't believe the captivity's being reversed. But here, spirit-filled people, we are the spiritual people that go to Zion, and our captivity has been turned. We're free. And we live kind of like a dream. You know, we're spirit-filled. We can't believe the position that we are in before God. As was referred to in testimony, we're perfect in his eyes. Our mouth's filled with laughter, our tongue was singing. And it says, and they among the heathen have said, you know, the Lord has done great things for them. You know, our testimony just shines of what the Lord has done in our lives, and other people notice it. You know, like Andrew said, like the blessing of organisations and companies follows the spirit-filled that work for them. I've seen that myself as well. And because the Lord has done great things for us, and he's turned our captivity. We were once captive to sin, but now he's turned that, and we are free. We have this freedom where it says here, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves with him. You know, there's great joy. The tears will be turned into joy. This is a position that we are in and we look forward to as well. A bit of movement going on around the place. Okay, Micah chapter 4. So this is a chorus that we sing. Well, verse 2 is. Micah chapter 4. It's after Jonah, which is after Amos. And verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. I like that that image. They'll flow unto it. They'll just like hordes will come to the mountain of the Lord. And then verse 2, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we'll walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So this thing, many nations, it's opened up to the whole world for people to go to the house of the Lord, the spiritual house of the Lord, where they can learn about God's promises. We stand on God's promises, and we know they are yea and amen, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. We know that we stand firm, and we learn about how free we are now. We learn that we are free from sin and death. We are free. Our mourning can be turned to joy as we learn about these things. As we flow with all the other people to the mountain. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 6. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I'll bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I'll turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I'll satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Great promises there, of course, spiritually speaking. You know, he'll lead us along rivers of waters, you know, where we can lap up the freshness. But also, I like in verse 11, it says, For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. So look at that through spiritual eyes. You know, beforehand, you know, we as the spiritual nation of Israel have been ransomed from the hand of him that was stronger than us. So who was the hand of him that was stronger than us? It was the devil, sin, death. You know, that was stronger than us. That is what trapped us beforehand. But the Lord has redeemed us from that. The Lord has rescued us from him that was stronger than us by his might, you know, by the death of Jesus Christ. We're free from that. So that now we can sing, you know, and it says here again, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. We'll all flow together to the goodness of the Lord and partake in the good things that the Lord has available for us as Spirit-filled people. If we remember where we were and where we are now, how fortunate we are, and that we are free and that we can have joy. Things get us down. We are human beings. We walk on this earth. But if we can somehow escape from those things for a moment that get us down and realise what God's done for us, we can have great joy. And this is the same chapter, of course, Jeremiah 31, where it leads to verse 31. I think it's interesting how it's the same chapter. You know, it starts out with this whole great words there where the Lord will ransom his people and set them free. And then it comes to verse 31, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob. Behold, there's something new, there's something great that's coming up, you know, something fantastic that will give people freedom. Verse 32, Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inner parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. You know, great freedom there. You know, we go unto the house of the Lord, the spiritual house, and he'll teach us, you know, through the Spirit and through the Word. And he's forgiven our iniquity so that we are free from that who is stronger than us. And a great prophecy and promise of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, that there's a new covenant, a brand new covenant that we're a part of through the Spirit. Over to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. It's after Hosea, before Amos. There you go. That's the flag stick, yardstick, whatever. The Joel chapter 2, and this is repeated in Acts chapter 2, which we've read many times, but I thought it'll go to the source. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. This ties in very well with Jeremiah 31, verse 34, the great promise of the Spirit. Verse 29, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So there's that very great aspect that the Lord will hear whoever calls unto him. You know, the Lord shall deliver. For in the spiritual Mount Zion, in the spiritual Jerusalem, is their great deliverance. You know, it's all spiritual. We read it with spiritual eyes, and we call unto the Lord. You know, whosoever calls unto the Lord will be given a great freedom, and this spirit will be poured out upon a people who the Lord chooses to be free with him, to have those chains cast aside. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Again, I mean, I will read the New Testament version of this, the next scripture, but again, a great promise way back in the time of Isaiah of a time of freedom, where the captives will be set free, the prison, the opening of the prison for them that are bound, you know, those that are locked up in the in their old ways and to the path leading to destruction. He's freed them up, you know, and the comfort to all those that mourn, that great comfort. And we can be in times of discomfort, and we call unto the Lord, we have some good solid prayer, and then all of a sudden, for some bizarre reason, you get this comfort and this joy that seems to come from nowhere. I'm sure we've all experienced that at least once or twice in our lives, stuff going on, and you're just praying away, about things, and then all of a sudden there's a change. You know, it's quite miraculous where you just lighten up, you know, not anxious for anything. You're just trusting in the Lord. Comfort those that mourn, and then He gives us this great garment of praise, where we have to praise the Lord because we have no alternative. He's just done such great stuff for us. So over to Luke chapter 4, which is where it is in the New Testament, the same scriptures. This is where Jesus Himself reads it out in the temple. Luke chapter 4 and verse 17. And there was delivered unto him, unto Jesus, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Okay? So now I say it to everyone here. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. We live in this time. You know, it was prophesied in the Old Testament, and here's Jesus saying, well, now it's been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. You know, like through the Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus Christ. It's now also upon us, where we can go about and preach deliverance to the captives. We can have that commission to tell others about freedom, that they can also be free if they become part of the body of Christ. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. We're living that. You know, living this time of great freedom. Back to Joel chapter 2. I'm hoping you can find it again because you found it the first time. Just one verse. This is the penultimate scripture. I haven't said that in a while. Joel chapter 2. Just one here. Joel chapter 2 and verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. You know, be still and know that I am God. And my people shall never be ashamed. Because of what God's done in our lives, he is in the midst of his spiritual people, Israel. He is amongst us, he's in us. And that he is our Lord and our God. And then nobody else. He is our God. And so we shall never, ever be ashamed. He'll back us up. We've got promises in the scriptures, and so he'll back us up. We'll be a people that will never be ashamed of God, representing God, because we have evidence. He answers our prayers. He filled us with the Holy Spirit. We spoke in tongues. We understand what the scriptures mean. We talk about it. We're open about these things. We're confident in the way we run our meetings. We're confident about the things that come out of our mouth about the salvation message. And he is our God, and there is none else. And his people shall never be ashamed. We can be confident to go out and wander about and be a great testimony, a shining light, because I will never be ashamed, because he's set us free. He said and he promised that he'll set us free, and he's done it. And we live that today. Last scripture, Romans chapter 10, and down in verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Pretty similar to what we read before. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, we go there, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, we just got to call unto the Lord. Lord, save. I mean, we can look at one end, those that are call unto the Lord for an answers. You know, and there's many testimonies where people just call unto the Lord before they've received the Spirit. Lord, what's it all about? And then within a short period of time, someone comes along and tells them what it's all about. You know, he hearkened unto that cry. But today, you know, he'll save us from stuff as well. You know, he'll pull us up out of stuff if we call unto him, knowing that he's real, and that we will not be ashamed when he call unto God our Father. Anybody can do it. There's no difference between Jew or non-Jew. You could say that. Jew or non-Jew. That encompasses every human being on the planet then, doesn't it? They can all just come to the Lord and call unto the Lord and you'll be saved. That's all that's required, and to listen to what his commandments are, follow his ways, and he will grant great freedom. Thank you.